Immigration has become a major focus of the Trump administration, and not usually with a positive view on the matter. Marielena Hincape is the head of the National Immigration Law Center. She comes from an immigrant family and is in Hawaii making the case for an alternate view of immigration. She's speaking at the University of Hawaii tonight and stopped by the HPR studios to talk with Ryan Finnerty.
At this current moment in the country, we're seeing immigration really as one of the defining issues of our times. That is about how do we define what it means to be an American, who is worthy of being an American, what kind of a nation are we becoming, and the discourse as well as the policy proposals that the current administration is promoting are actually dangerously similar to what we saw in the early 1900s. In fact, a lot of the rhetoric, and if you look at the legislative history predating the 1924 Immigration Act, which is when the first time that racial and national origin quotas were put in place, that all is part of the Chinese Exclusion Act, the exclusion of Asians for a certain period of time, the creation of Border Patrol for the first time. A lot of the white nationalist language that's used and the dehumanizing language that's used are deeply troubling because it does take us back over a century ago.
Well, how did those policies play out in the 20th century, and then what can we learn from that in analyzing the current situation?
Yeah, so one of the greatest impacts of those policies was a restriction on immigration, especially a restriction on immigrants from Asia, from Africa, and even at a certain point, Irish immigrants, for example, folks from Southern Europe were also considered unworthy. In fact, they were oftentimes poverty tests, basically, for people who were coming over seeking a better life in this country, that they were denied the entry to the United States. And so for, I'd say, between the 1920s, early 1900s, until the Civil Rights Movement was really when we finally did away with those national origin and racial quotas. And it's not a surprise. I think a lot of people don't think about immigration as part of the Civil Rights Movement. But in fact, my family, we immigrated to Rhode Island from Colombia. And it was because of the 1965 Immigration Act that was a result of the Civil Rights Movement that those national origin and racial quotas were eliminated finally, and that opened the door to the diversity of immigrants that we have today in the nation.
The Trump administration has really made immigration one of its signature issues, and there are far too many issues within the realm of immigration for us to cover. What are some of the most striking ones that stand out to you?
This has been the number one issue for even candidate Trump, right? He started from day one when he came down that escalator, referring to us as immigrants, as criminals, rapists, et cetera. And he has very purposefully using language that dehumanizes, that criminalizes immigrants. In terms of the policies, one of the ones that has gotten some coverage, but frankly, I don't think the public understands the potential impact it has, is the proposed rule that was issued back in October of last year, where the Trump administration is trying to radically reform the legal immigration system by denying green cards to lawfully present immigrants who have used certain types of safety net programs. They had access to nutrition, access to health care, housing. Some of those programs would disqualify them from becoming a permanent resident in this country. And we're talking about, it's an estimated 26 million people would be directly or indirectly impacted by this, including many U.S. citizen children whose parents are immigrants who are afraid of seeking nutrition assistance, who seek assistance. We've had, even though this is just a proposed rule, the fear, the chilling effect is already having a humanitarian impact.
The administration has a somewhat mixed record with these proposals. They usually end up in court. Many have been struck down, like family separation, but some have made it through eventually, like what's been called the Muslim travel ban. As a lawyer yourself, how do you feel about the court and the court system as being the arena in which these debates are had and these issues are decided?
Yeah. So as a lawyer, I will say this is a really exciting time to be a lawyer or a law student. The courts have really served as a really important check and balance against the overreach of this administration. And that is true even Republican or democratically appointed judges, right? Judges who are seeing that this is too much. It's important for the court as that third branch of government to hold the executive accountable. So that is that has been really important. On the Muslim ban in particular, we're so grateful for the role that Hawaii has played on that. Former Attorney General Doug Chin played a really instrumental role in playing the lead on that. We separately at the National Immigration Law Center, along with the ACLU and other partners, also sued to stop the administration on the Muslim ban. So those lawsuits were all proceeding. But as you mentioned, the Supreme Court has now given its imprimatur, and it's shameful to know that here in 2019, we now have a law on the books that is blocking people from Muslim countries. There is an exception that was allowed by the Supreme Court decision, which is that people can apply for a waiver. That waiver, though, is in practice is not being approved. And in fact, we have several lawsuits that are specifically around the waiver and the refugee ban portions of that executive order that litigation is still ongoing. And I think currently the estimate is only about 1% of people are actually getting those waivers approved. So the impact is real, and we're now turning to the Congress we have legislation that was recently introduced to repeal the ban. Because of the current makeup in Congress, we see this as a multi-year fight.
And on that note, these processes take a long time to work through the courts, and they have a very long-term impact on the perception that would-be immigrants in other countries have and how any one particular administration's policy drives that. What do you think are the long-term implications of what's going on right now? Because we have a presidential election coming up. We're potentially looking at 4 more years of these types of policies.
Absolutely. So I think there are a couple of things. One is my understanding of this administration is that they don't really care if these proposals pass or they become law. They have a longer term strategy, which is to, on the one hand, shape the discourse and the narrative and, again, demonize not just immigrants. Frankly, we're seeing it with LGBTQ communities, with women. I mean, it really is so many different sectors of the country. The press, right, is under attack. Judges are under attack. So they are really trying to remake, again, this nation and changing the face of who we are in the future and who is able to come or not. And if you look at all of the different parts of this administration, our standing in the world has changed. The United States is not currently seen by our sister nations as the leader. We have led historically, right, that beacon on the hill of being a nation that is welcoming. And Hawaii especially is like such a deep, deep values of the society here of being a more welcoming and receptive state. That's not happening. And so the long-term implications for the country are huge, and we're seeing it in terms of tourism. We're seeing it in terms of people willing to invest here or not. Many more people going to other countries. We're seeing more, even on the Western Hemisphere, much more migration to other countries than to the U.S. And that will absolutely have long-term implications on the economy. It'll have long-term implications in terms of families being separated, whether because of the policies or because, again, of the fear.
Are those policies and that perception something that can be reversed in under a future administration, or do you think that the shift has kind of been made permanently?
No, I absolutely think that the shift can be made, and I think we have a great opportunity right now as we're leading up to 2020 elections to start changing the discourse. And in fact, one of the reasons that I'm here speaking is to talk about the vision of what it will take to actually get us back on the right path. I'm actually really optimistic. I think that because things have gotten so bad, we're seeing so many people come together, especially on immigrants and on refugee issues, on family separation, on the Muslim ban. Folks who have not really paid much attention to immigration in the past are realizing that actually we have to fight together for our collective future, and that there are so many candidates running for president right now that there's an opportunity that they will start helping to shift the discourse and being able to present a different vision for the country where we all belong, where we all can thrive, where we all are able to have the resources that we need to take care of ourselves, our families, contribute to our local communities, and really to reject these policies of hate and white nationalism that the current administration is proposing.
Maria Elena, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.